We have a lot of talent here that is not used. And if you would like to be involved in singing, or I got a lot of echo up here, been involved in singing or playing the bells or getting involved in something else with the church work, please let us know. We'd like everybody to get a chance to be productive and just enjoy it, because you know, when you give, you get a lot back. In the third chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing to his friends. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters written on our hearts and known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Lord God, we look to you today to give us strength. We have many who suffer in our midst. Illnesses, disappointments, all types of things that the devil tries to use against us. Don't let us give in, but give us strength. And your will always be done in the healings. We pray for those that are lonesome, those that are sad, and those who just need help each day. For those up north of our friends that are getting some severe weather, ease them and let them be safe and all right. Pray, Lord, for our country. It lives in perilous times right now. It's brother against sister, father against child. Help them find peace and calmness in trying to be our spiritual leaders and strengthen their resolve to do what is right. Be with the men and women there in the military, in the mission field, and the loved ones that take care of them and think about them and love them while they're gone. May we all be your servants. Bless this congregation and our country. And be with the speaker this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. My people are from small towns. Nobody puts a number on their mailbox because everybody knows where everybody's from. Matter of fact, one day one of the guys, a great uncle of mine, was turning into his driveway, left-hand turning into his driveway, and a car hit him. He said, "Ma'am, you must be from out of town, because everybody knows I live right here, and they would stop and let me turn." Well, it was that way when we grew up. I went to school and had teachers that taught my father and his sisters and brothers. And my same nephews went there as well. And people are known. But nowadays it doesn't seem that way, does it? We're all strangers in a strange land. We carry forms of identification. I was in a bank Friday, and the guy walked up to cash checks. She says, "Do you have ID?" He says, "I've got my driver's license." She said, "We need two forms." He said, "Well, I got my cell phone. It's got my number in it." Didn't work. So we carry Social Security cards, and we carry driver license, and if you've been overseas, you got a passport or a military ID, and on and on and on, to say that you are whom you say you are. Well, it was going on a long time ago. This is nothing new. You see, as the Apostle Paul traveled from Jerusalem and around both Europe and Asia, he went to people who had never heard of him and people who had. Now, when you go to somewhere the first time, you usually carry some type of identification. Here I am. I've been recommended by these people. If you've ever applied for a job, a lot of times they will ask you for recommendations from somebody that even if they did not know, they can check up on and see if you're who you say you are. The ministry of the gospel by the early apostles was powerful. They taught what people had not heard before of a loving, caring, sharing God who wanted them to be successful in their relationship with him and to be happy and to be saved. It was a very powerful movement. Anytime you have a powerful movement, you have imitators. You know that. Somebody comes up with a product and then it becomes being knockoffs or generics or pretend to be's when they spell their name a little bit. Folks, I don't know if you've noticed, but not all the information you see on television is correct. And quite a bit of it you get on the internet is definitely lies. And we have to be very careful about that. Well, it was that way in the ministry division. People would just say, I'm an apostle of God. Some would even say, I am Paul, or I am Titus, or I am Timothy, when they weren't, because nobody had ever seen them before. They didn't have a picture ID. So at those times, Paul and the men would be asked to carry some type of a letter from recommendation from a church that these new people would know. And that's what he's speaking. Do we have to have ID, he's saying? Or is our recommendation from the people that we know, okay? I think when you're interviewing someone for a preacher, for a teacher, for a car repairman, a salesman, whatever, that you say, can I have some identification? Let me see what you've done in the past. And Paul says, you know what I've done in the past. I have God's recommendation. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That when somebody is so close to Jesus and doing the good works, that the recommendation comes from God and others can benefit from it. Well, that's where Paul is right now. And he's talking about relationships with others and how things can be made better. He goes on in the second verse. You yourselves are our letters written on our hearts. For Paul's ministry had helped those in Corinth and changed their lives. We don't need to come to you with any kind of special ID because you all know who we are. I get my hair cut, not often enough, I think, at a place over about a half a mile from where we live. 6 years I've been there. And I'll go in and say, how you want your hair? I want the way that so-and-so did last time. Well, they're not here anymore. I have never had the same barber, hairstylist, whatever your name you want to call it, twice. Ever. In 6 years. It's sort of like a puppy mill. They just keep churning them out and running away. Either that or they take my name off their list and don't want anybody to know they worked on me. I don't know which. But you yourselves are our letters. You know. So now they're taking pictures of me. I'm not sure this is legitimate, but they're taking pictures of me and putting their computer and says, give it to them this way. My brother-in-law, Becky's brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, for 35 years, he goes in and says, give me a number 4. That's some kind of a grit on the bottom of your shaving thing. He's about like that. A number 4 all over. Well, he knows what he wants. And they know what it means. And when we're dealing with people, we should know what we want. And they should know what we mean. And when we're speaking about Jesus, there's no question they need to know who that is and what they need to do. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but the Spirit of the living God. Have you ever told anybody? Well, I go to church, they say, you do? That's not a real strong recommendation. That is surprising that they find that you go to church. We should be a living example of where we go, the Apostle Paul says. Now, not to sound crazy, well, not to normally sound crazy, we should consider ourselves equal with Paul. Not in the scripture we write, but in the way we're supposed to live. Give me that old time religion. You know, if you had old timey grandparents who particularly sang a cappella or a non instrumental church, they would sing that. Give me that old time religion. It was good enough for mom and dad. It was good enough for Paul and Silas. It was good enough for so and so. And it's good enough for me. Paul's teaching was good enough for Jesus, and it's good enough for me. And that's what we have to understand. We don't need, and half of you people, I don't know you very well yet. I hope the word yet is the underline. I don't know your backgrounds in churches. I don't know where you came from, but I need to know where you're going, and that's in the scriptures. You may come from a rock and roll church where they turn all the lights off or they turn up the music so loud you can't hear the person next to you. You can't even hear you. That's what they do. You may go to a church where it's very, or you sit like this the whole time. And if you move, your father goes click and the whole church hears it and you won't breathe over the next 10 minutes. I grew up that way. You may go to a church where the preacher will call you down. Billy Bob. Actually, Miss Mary Jane, would you take Billy Bob outside and describe to him what happens when he acts bad in church? I've been to churches like that too. Wasn't me. But you show that you are a letter from Christ, Your results are that you know who Jesus is because we have taught you, Paul says, and we have shown you the way. And it's not impossible, for if it was impossible, we would not be able to do it. And secondly, did not Mary say, way early in the beginning of her finding out she's going to be the mother of God's son, for with God, nothing is impossible. We need to believe that. Amen. Now, I will put a little bit of parentheses in there. That maybe not everything is the right thing to do. For with God, nothing's impossible, but God's got to be on our side with those requests. And if we keep asking for something, and it doesn't seem to happen, he just said, you got to be kidding, Dwight, that's not going to happen. Or when you're good and ready, it's going to happen. We've got to know the difference. And sometimes that's just saying, Lord, show me, teach me, allow me to do what I can do. We are not all going to stand in front of 10,000 people and preach. We're not all going to stand up like George Beverly Shea and sing How Great Thou Art every Sunday at 6:30 on WVOK Radio, the Mighty 590, every Sunday night. I sang along with him, scared the cattle to death. He says, it is not written in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You notice that word is living. It's continuing. Not on tablets of stone. Who wrote on tablets of stone? Remember Moses and Mount Sinai and God writing with his hand on the Ten Commandments? His relationship with us is not on stone, but on flesh and blood, living with the Holy Spirit within us. And we must realize that that is for our benefit. And for the benefit of others in the kingdom, God is not going to ask us to do. God is not going to ask us to do the wrong thing. We may take it wrong, and we may do it wrong, but it is not God's fault. And sometimes, I don't want to show hands. I'm going to stop right there and move over here. There's a thing called a hearing aid. Some of you's got it, and some of us need it. There are a lot of conversations between Becky and I that are not what we said. She will say it in that soft, sweet voice, and I will hear something totally different. You want steak for dinner? I'm here, and go drive some steaks in the yard. Something like that. So frequently, when we mess up, it is of our own doing, and we're not listening to God and what He wants us to do. And that's on us. I'm just thankful God, He's a very forgiving creator, or we would all be in trouble. At least I would, for sure. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. You've got to believe it. You've got to understand that Jesus is there for us. And then when things go wrong, we're not listening or not doing it right, or we may just need to wait a little bit. There's a line. We were waiting one time for our dad to come pick us up so we'd go on a vacation. And I stood there at the door for 3 hours waiting for him to show up. And my grandmother said, a watched pot never boils. I had no idea what she meant by a watched pot never boils. I never cooked in my life. I was 9. I wasn't sure what boiling was, but I didn't care about watching any pots either. I wanted to get home so we could leave. Too often we try to hurry. Diana Ross, remember Diana Ross when they were the Supremes? They made a song, You Can't Hurry Love. Too often we try to hurry God to get into our time frame and make mistakes because we were in such a hurry we didn't realize. Now, if it wasn't for this, I don't know where I would be half the day. Make a legal U-turn at the next crossroad. I know I'm the only one that's ever heard that. I've heard it frequent enough for all of you put together. Well, there are things in here that tells us make a U-turn right away. Don't even wait for a legal U-turn because we're going in the wrong direction. And when things don't happen our way, God, why did you let me down? Why did this or that or the other thing? Or why did it not happen? Well, maybe we just didn't need to do it. Or some of us would be married to different people if we got our way the first time when we were wrong. When we were wrong, I asked a girl out one time. She says, no, I'm busy, but Becky Richardson wants to talk to you. I buried her a year later. He's made us competent as ministers of the new covenant. Covenant means an agreement, a testament, an agreement, a document. The new covenant means that of Christ, that of blood, not of the blood of animals, but the blood of God's Son. That's what he's stressing there. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which is engraved in the letters of the stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory transmitted through that, will not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? The Jews got their relationship by blood animal sacrifices. It was that way. They had a sacrifice for every sin you commit, a sacrifice for every day of the week, from grain to wine to doves, to turtle doves, they would call them, to doves, to cattle, to sheep, to goats. They had all prescribed. But all those involved death of an innocent animal. That ended at the day of crucifixion and a resurrection. And it restarted the day of Pentecost, when it was the blood of the Son of God that wiped away sins forever. Amen. And we did not have to capture animals or raise animals or burn grain or anything like that, because a sacrifice was made. The question is, are we willing to accept that sacrifice? I do a lot of service work. And a lot of doors I go to have those, you know, little, we got one right here. Little code number, you push a code and it pops open and you get a key. I spent 20 minutes the other day pushing the wrong number because I listened to the wrong person at the wrong place the wrong time. I didn't have my information correct. Whose fault was that? The guy that told me. No, it was my fault. I wrote it down wrong. And when we do something in the wrong direction, maybe we say, are we listening? Are you able to serve the Master? Can we take on the tasks that we're allowed to do, we're given to do? We are, I have to go to church today. No, it should be, it's Sunday, it's Wednesday. I'm loving to go to church today. I want to do this. It should be an exciting thing. If it's not, part of it's my fault. Part of it may be your fault, because you came in looking for something that wasn't there, or that you didn't need, or expected more than you were ready to handle. So we need to be prepared for that. He goes on, for what is glorious has no glory now in comparison to surpassing glory. Moses, when he came off the mountain, his face was shining so bright because he had been in the presence of God that he had to wear a veil, because it was felt that it would just scare the people to see what God had done for, to, and with him. Then it began to fade. And I think as it faded, Mr. Moses sort of felt bad about it, because he had been looking good there for a while. My favorite library that I use more than any other time is in the checkout line at Publix. Oh, the ones that are laughing know who I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. The National Tattletale, Soap Opera Digest, et cetera, et cetera. That's where we find news, we think. And it's about, the one I like the best is, where are they now? And it shows a picture of an actress or an actor that were very popular maybe 30 or 40 years ago. That's got more wrinkles in them than a Shar Pei dog. Okay. You know what I'm. You know where I'm at. And they try to do something to make themselves look good or something. You know, folks, let's not look in the wrong places to find out what the right thing to do is. And let us know that whatever our stage in life is, let's handle it the best way we can and do the most good for the kingdom and for God's people. That's what Paul's talking about. Therefore, we have such hope. We are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites seeing what was passing away. But their minds were dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. The teachings of Judaism had passed by them. The new life of Jesus is better. When our children were young, when they got past the milk-only stage, and you started making, we use something called pablum. You know what I'm talking about? Pablum was a powder, real flaky, and you grind it up with milk or water, milk preferably, and it just did. Babies didn't know any better. Let's put it that way. I would dare you to go today into the Publix and go and get you a jar of a Gerber's whirled peas. You know, that's what everybody wants, whirled peas, don't you? Whirled peas. Get you some, and some Pablum or mixed cereal, and mix it up and have that for supper. And then about 9 o'clock, get up and go get a McDonald's and get you a pizza. I don't know what, but something that you really want to eat. Those things have faded. We don't need them anymore. We've grown past that. We've gone from tube steak or preacher steak, Joe, which is hot dogs. We've gone from that to sirloin. A lot more chew to it. We need to be in our relationship with God with a lot more chew, with some meat and some substance. Yeah, desserts are fine, and I love desserts. Trust me, I love desserts. But yet, man does not live by bread alone. No, we need steak and chicken and shrimp and stuff like that where you can actually chew and sink your teeth into it. We need to be that way about the Scriptures too. Jesus loves me, great song, but we've got to get deeper than Jesus said, love me. Jesus died for me, and he served me. He's going to allow us to serve him. That's where we've got to be going. Or we stay eating Pablum and world peas, and that, although they do make a very good coconut dessert in one of those little jars, but don't tell anybody I said that. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We're not looking at the past. We're looking at the future. We're not hiding anymore. The story I love the best about the veil being taken away, of course, would be Rachel and Leah. When old Jake worked for 7 years to marry the good-looking one, Euface, and woke up that next morning after the veil was taken away, he married Cowface. I'm sorry, that's what the words mean. I didn't make that up. That's what it really means. Although it was the Cowface one. There was a direct lineage to David and Solomon and Jesus. So God had his way anyway, even though Jacob wasn't real thrilled about it. Take the veil away. I'm not the only one here that wears specs. A bunch of us wear glasses. Do not try this at home, and do not try this alone. Go home and get some Vaseline and rub it on the glass. Or better than that, get some Saran wrap and cover them. And then try driving down 41. You'll be like everybody else that's on 41. It wouldn't make any difference. But yet, we are clouded in our eyes. We need to have our clear eyes so we can see what God wants us to do. That's what Paul is saying. The veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of God is, and where the Spirit of God of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people have died for freedom and have fought for freedom. From the Revolutionary War to the French and Indian Wars all the way to what's going on now. None of that matters if we do not accept the death on the cross that brought us freedom from sin. And we're free to do what we choose to do here in America. We have a free country and all these rights we have. But the ultimate freedom is freedom from the devil and his punishment. That's where Paul is going with this. There is freedom, and we all, who are unveiled faces, to contemplate the Lord's glory. We need to see the strength that's in God. You look in Revelation, oh, it's too scary. I don't want to read Revelation. No. It's beautiful. The picture of a sovereign creator of the world sitting on his throne, surrounded by four creatures with different type of powers and abilities, with eyes covering them so they can see all what's going on in the whole world. It's a beautiful sight. That's freedom from sin and fear. We need to contemplate the Lord's glory and be transformed into his image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God's got great plans for us. It's not like a half-written book. He knows the ending to it. He knows what He's got planned for His children, His obedient children. Those who said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept Him as my Lord and Savior, and I'll be buried in the water grave of baptism to walk anew with the Holy Spirit within me. God's made that plan already. What are we going to do about it? The ticket has already been paid for. The journey has already been planned. The rewards are too indescribable to even utter of all the greatness that God has for us. What's this song again? Was it 415? You all just sang it with us. I'm gonna, what is it? 415, that's what I thought. Whoever said that, thank you. Are you able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we will follow thee. Now, we don't have to go overseas and become missionaries that die with ISIS or these kind of things. Because the death took place near 2,000 years ago on a rocky hill far away. At that old wooden cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. That's already been done. All we've got to say is, yes, Lord, we are able to serve you. Our hymn of invitation, decision day, is written on my right hand. My right hand, 476, whiter than snow. If you would stand as the ladies play. Caroline, you and your group come up here, please. You got it by yourself. All right.
Start it. Lord Jesus, our Lord.